be many other texts that will be brought in to further teach us. But those two passages sort of form the axis of the lesson. And we title the lesson, Blessings We Miss. I relate some time ago when some of what will be shared in this lesson was then shared, some. I relate how that I was doing a study, a research, many years ago to understand better how theologians coordinate, put together, match Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, which was read this morning by Brother Bean, how theologians match that passage with 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. Both passages are dealing with worship. I repeat, both passages are dealing with the subject of worship. My interest then was to see how religious leaders mesh the thoughts and the teaching in those two passages together. Reading the passage of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I said Corinthians, it was Hebrews 10 and Matthew 18:20. Reading Dr. Mulligan, trying to remember the title of his book, but reading his commentary on Hebrews, he said these words in commenting on Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He said these words: "No one can ever estimate the enormous blessing he or she misses or forfeit by being absent from any gathering of the brethren." I'm going to repeat it for your benefit. He said, "No one can ever estimate the enormous blessing he or she misses or forfeit by being absent from any gathering of the brethren." It's important that we get what this theologian was saying, that no one can ever weigh, count, or put some estimation on the blessings that you and I forfeit or miss by being absent from any gathering of the church. Can you? Can you put an estimate, a value, a how much worth or blessing you forfeit or miss when you are absent from any Wednesday night Bible study, any Sunday morning worship, any Sunday night worship. Can you say what blessing God might have had at that specific worship for you? That simply because you were absent, you missed that blessing? Can you put an estimate on it? That's what Dr. Mulligan was saying. Could it be that much of our problems, our stress, our unhappiness, our discontent, our purposelessness, our weakness, our fear, our discouragement, our faithlessness, can it be that lot of these challenges that we face in living, they can be traced back to special blessing we miss or forfeited by being away from the gathering of God's people? Because the passage that was read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, what does it mean by gathering in his name? I'll comment on that in a few seconds or minutes. Wherever two or three, doesn't have to be 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. Two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And when Jesus Christ is present anywhere, he doesn't just come so. He comes with a purpose. Always. Can it be that lot of our problem, our stress, our unhappiness, our discontent, our purposelessness, our fears, our weakness, our discouragement, our faithlessness, and some of the many other challenges that we face and fail, they come as a result of blessing of God that we miss. And somebody might be some smart aleck might be thinking, well, Brother Mitchell, if God wants to bless me, whether I'm in worship or not, don't he bless me? I'm here to tell you that there are times when God has blessing fixed at a certain place. Amen. That's right. Fixed in a certain environment or atmosphere. I am tempted to throw in another passage here, but let me go a little further before I throw it in. Two or three. I usually refer to this as numerical minimum. Because less than that going to be only one. Two or three. It is encouraging that Jesus Christ didn't say 20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. He said wherever two or three. Now this must have, when the disciple heard this and when Christianity got started 30-32 AD. This two or three must have been of great encouragement to God's people in the pagan world of first and second century Christianity, when godless heathenism, in their temple, they attract massive crowd in the first and second century. When you take in the temple of Diana in Ephesus, massive place with thousands upon thousands of people. So when Jesus Christ talks about two or three, I imagine the Christians of the first century rock back on this many times, because they knew that God being with them was not dependent on massive crowd. They knew that. Look at 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 following. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 following.
Be strong and courageous.
Be courageous.
Be not afraid nor dismayed.
Listen to this. Be not afraid, be not dismayed.
For the king Azariah, nor for all the multitude that is with him.
Wait. Don't let the multitude that was with, I think it was a Syrian king, don't let the multitude that was with Azariah discourage you. Read.
For there be more with us than with him.
Wait, don't move from the passage. Don't mix up this passage with the one in Kings. You see, this statement the brothers just read is found also in King by a different king of Israel. Wait. What I find strange and encouraging is that men and women, God's people, had to be reminded in the then world that though they might be few in their eyes, those that are with them are more than the massive crowd you see with the heathen king. This is important. As I've said, what the brothers just read is also in the book of Kings by a different king. In Kings, of course, it was said by Elijah when his assistant saw the crowd of the Syrian and say, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And Elijah said, "Calm down, man, calm down. They that are with us are more than they that are with them." And you know what? Elijah had to pray that God open his eyes. And when God opened the eyes of Elijah's assistant, he saw more people than John Reed Bout, as country people would say. Read the other verse, brother.
With him is an arm of flesh.
With him is an arm of flesh.
But with us is the Lord our God to help us.
It is the Lord our God. Wait, do you know what that is saying? When you are right and you are on God's side, there is no number that can outnumber you. When what you are doing is the will of God, when God is on your side, there is no number that can outnumber you. I shared with this with you many times. Happened many, many years ago. At that time, I think I was just about 18 years old. And there was a minister's meeting. I wasn't there because at that time I didn't attend minister's meeting. I was just a trying brother at Elliston Road. But Brother Walker relate how at this minister's meeting, the different preacher, and in this case, Brother Roberts, each of them got up and was telling how much they baptized for the year. And this one get up and state, I baptized 20 this past year. This one get up, I baptized 25 this past year. This one got up, I baptized 15 this past year. This one got up, I baptized 12. And one brother, Brother Roberts, got up and said, this past year I baptized one. And many of the other preachers sat a laugh and gave a smile, which shows immaturity, of course. And the person chairing the minister's meeting said, how many, brother? He said, one. The brother said, brother, and one soul is so precious to God. Amen. So that one is enough. Christ, numerical minimum, teaches us that numbers are gathering is not the essence of the strength of the church.
That's right.
I need to. Numbers are gathering. The Bible referred to multitude. The Bible used that term. Is not that which gives meaning or importance to our coming together. The ideal church or gathering is not necessarily the large gathering, but the Christ focus, the Christ honored, the Christ word gathering. That's what gives importance to any gathering. May I? A church of 3 or 4 members might be the strongest congregation around. Did you hear what I said? A congregation meet in a house somewhere in a little community where those 4 members are committed. When they meet for worship, they have God in mind. They come out to honor God. They respect and reverence the word. They live the Christian life. That might be the strongest congregation around. even though they might just be 4 or 5. Are we there? It is rightly said that the elephant was not more protected in the Ark of Noah than the fly. Mm-hmm. Look on the size and the strength of the elephant. Mm-hmm. The little fly, you can so easily kill it. Mm-hmm. But it is a fact that in the Ark of Noah, that fly was as protected as the elephant. Because their protection was not dependent on what they have or That's what right. they possess. It was dependent on the Almighty God.
Amen.
Are we all there? So let us always remember that we must be careful how we see strength and importance and significance through numbers, through nuff-nuff. Yes, we are glad for the nuff-nuff if the nuff-nuff is focusing on what they are to focus on.
That's right.
Doing what they are to do to honor the Almighty God. The text of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 teaches us, are we all there? Or help us think that their attitudes, they are attitudes, they are conditions which invites Christ's presence. Are we all there? They are attitudes, they are conditions which invites Jesus' presence. Notice, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered. No, he didn't say that. You see, it's important that we take what the Bible says. Wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, that my name there makes all the difference.
That's right.
So Jesus Christ is not here promising that he will be in all religious gathering.
That's right.
Because a lot of religious gathering, they are gathering for religion, but not to honor Jesus Christ. Truly. If you and I come together, or if many of us come together, and we are thinking of the guitar and the piano that, and the song that we'll sing that we enjoy. And, you know, one brother may suggest that in addition to the piano, that brother play the guitar very much. You know how that excites the people. And few sisters confirm that and say amen. So, when Sunday come, members would not normally hear be here because they remember that in addition to the piano, the guitar will be played and they love the music. Jesus Christ is not in this text promising that he will be in that gathering because we would be gathering for our own purpose. Truly. Wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. Brother Mitchell, meaning it must be on the authority of Christ.
That's right.
It must be according to the word of Christ.
That's right.
It must be to the praise and the honor and the worship and the glory of God in view.
Amen, amen.
It's not just gathering. It's not just a religious gathering. It must be in his name. Look, the concept of in his name. Look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Acts 4 verse 7. Quick, in his name.
For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Yes, and 41.
41. Notice here. Notice. In my name. Now, what comes after? There's supposed to be a comma after name.
That's right.
What comes after that going to tell you what in my name means? Whatsoever shall give a cup of drink of water in my name.
Because he belong to Christ.
Wait. You see, in my name, literally because of Christ. So when Jesus Christ talk about wherever two or three are gathered in my name, you are gathering not because you love the piano or the organ, or because you love Bob Marley band of instrument of music, but you are gathering because of Christ. The purpose you at your meeting is to give Christ honor and glory and adoration. That's why only those gathering are included in this. Are we all there? We must learn to come out to give God his due. The man rightly said that all his life he spent it on Grumble Street. He said now he's going to move to Thanksgiving Street. When we become Christian, we move to Thanksgiving Street. We recognize that we need to put time aside to be thankful, to praise the Almighty God. To come to worship, to be entertained, to do your thing. To come to worship simply to help your business. To come to worship to meet the right person socially. To come to worship to find a wife or a husband. You're coming for the wrong purpose. Truly. Truly, you're coming for the right purpose.
The wrong purpose.
That's right. Thank you, brother. For the wrong purpose. Now, when you come now, valuing the presence of Jesus Christ, when you come valuing the blessing there is in Christ's presence, when you come to give Jesus Christ the worship he deserves, then you are coming for the right purpose. God's people must know the value and the importance and the immeasurable worth of God's blessing. Do I have time to go to the passage of Genesis chapter 39 verse 5 following? Let me hear it, brother. First Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10. Let me hear it, brother. The first passage I said is Genesis 39 verse 5 following.
And it came to pass,
mm-hmm,
from the time that he had made him overseer,
mm-hmm,
in the house and over all that he had,
uh-huh,
that the Lord blessed the Egyptian host for Joseph's sake.
Wait. You remember I made the statement that sometimes God reserved. I didn't use the word reserve when I made the statement some minutes ago, but there are blessings that God reserved for you if you meet him at particular settings. Are we all there? Should I travel with you from Genesis to Revelation, show you this? In the case we are reading, Joseph lived a life close to the Almighty God. Are we all there? And it's like whatever the man put his hand to, it becomes gold. Wait. Joseph was only a slave in this household. But may I? As far as the Almighty God is concerned, he was the most important person in that house. What the master, and the master it seems was perceptive. He recognized that, my God, everything Joseph put his hand to, it prosper. That was no accident. God was working with the man. Read my brother.
And the blessed
verse 5, you started, if you read it again.
And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in the house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, start clapping on a church now. Okay. Now, watch here. There had been other supervisor in that position. But the man's cattle and whatever it was didn't multiply as when Joseph was the supervisor. You see? Read on, brother.
And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house.
You hear that? Because of one man, Joseph. When Jesus Christ talk about wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. And as I've said, that being there, Jesus Christ is not there. So, as country people would say, you know, I know so. When Jesus Christ promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, that is to honor, worship, praise, glorify him. He's there. He's there for a noble purpose that is in our best interest. Are we there? There are some passages like the one in Chronicles, but read. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Quick, brother. Time is
And
going.
Jabez was more honorable than his brethren.
Jabez was more honorable than his other brothers. That's what brethren there mean.
And his
Wait. Here is a young man. He was more honorable than his other brothers. Watch here now, no? Read.
And his mother called him name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called.
Because I bear him with sorrow. We won't go into that right now. Read.
And Jabez called on God of
and
Israel.
And Jabez, honorable man in God's sight. He called upon the Almighty God.
Saying, how that thou wouldest bless me indeed.
If you, God, will bless me truly.
And enlarge my course.
And enlarge my course.
And that thine hand might be with me.
And if you will be with me.
And that thou wouldest keep me from evil.
And if you will keep me from evil.
And it may not grieve me.
Mm-hmm.
And God granted him that which he requested.
Now. Remember, he has other brothers. Probably they pray too. Because they were Israelites. But this man, young man, prayed to God and God responded to him. Jesus Christ said, wherever two or three, do you crave the presence of Jesus Christ at worship? Do you put out all the effort to be in worship? Do you look for worship? Look forward for worship when the Christian meet. Let me wrap up, because there's a passage I want to bring in, and I don't want to end this sermon and don't bring in that passage. If you recognize the worth, the value, the importance of Jesus Christ's real and special presence and blessing, if you do, if you do recognize that wherever Jesus Christ promised that he will be, and you recognize that just being in the presence of Christ in a very special way, just recognizing the blessing. Now, if you do not crave and seek that blessing at every opportunity you get, that is a grave problem and a clear symptom that something is wrong with your relationship with God. If Jesus Christ promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there. And if when you know the church meet, you don't look forward with anxiety, with gladness, with willingness to be there. If you do not see the need to put everything one side to be there, it's telling you that you have a problem of priority. You have your priority mixed up. It is a problem of sense of value. You have your sense of value mixed up. One of the things that distinguish Moses was when the book of Hebrews, we don't have time to go there, that Moses saw the suffering with God's people more valuable than the wealth of Egypt. Sense of value is important in serving God. What is really the worthwhile thing in life? Are we all there? Psalms 122, verse 1. Quick, brother. Psalms 122, verse 1.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
I was sad.
I was glad.
I had to push myself.
When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
You know, every time I said, this man has given us so many reasons why God said David a man after his own heart. I was glad. May I? Look. In worship, in a real sense, Both Jesus Christ and angels are present. I'm going to make a few more statements and the lesson will be yours. In worship, both Jesus Christ and angels are present. You mean in this morning worship? Yes. The session that took place before this, once they did come out with the right motive, and once the things they do were in keeping with God's will, Jesus Christ was there. Angels were there. So in this session, if we are here to honor Christ, glorify him. If when we sing songs of praises, we are singing it to God. If when we give, we are giving it to the cause of Christ because I want to see the cause of Christ expand. If when we take the communion, we are thinking of the price that Jesus Christ paid for our sin. If when we listen to his word, we are listening, giving God a chance to speak to us. Then Christ is here. Listen, the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head.
This is talk about head covering. Head covering is no man-made tradition. It's a thing that the Bible teaches. For this cause, what, brother?
Ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels.
Y'all hear that? It means that when we gather for worship, angels are there.
That's right.
But watch here now. I want you to look at verse 17. And I want you to notice something that you might have missed when you have read this passage in the past. Let us hear verse 17.
Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not.
Watch here, Paul said, May I have your attention, quick. The Corinthians were taking the communion in an improper way. The communion is one of the activities of worship. When we take it the proper way, we worship the Almighty God. They were doing it the wrong way. So Paul was chastising them in the letter that in this, I am not praising you, but watch it, read that.
That ye come together not for the better, but for the worse.
Wait. May I? Have you noticed how simple statement can carry so much awesome message? Watch here. Paul said, when you take the communion, you Corinthians, the way you were taking it, you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Do you see what I see? What the passage is teaching is that when we come together for the better.
That's right.
Wait, it's not just better from our point of view. It's the betterment that God gives us when we come together in worship. That's what the passage is teaching. That normally when we gather together to worship God, it is for our betterment.
That's right.
That's what the passage is teaching. Betterment that comes from the Almighty God. This is talk about the blessing with which we are blessed when we come together for the right purpose and do the right thing. For you come together for the worse. In other words, because they were taking the Lord's Supper in a wrong way. The way they took it was wrong. He's showing that they have defeated the purpose for which they come together.
Amen. What purpose, Paul? Paul is saying, when you come together, it is for your betterment.
That's right.
When we come to worship, it is for our betterment. God is going to see to that. That there are better men given to us by Him. So coming together, not just so. When we come together, we come to be better people in the sight of God.
Blessings we miss. Every service we miss. And deprive ourselves of some form of betterment and blessing and benefit. Every service we make. Because the very one that you tell yourself, well, me no have to go to that one. That's probably the service each time that God has a blessing for you. More awesome than you can ever imagine. Sometimes it's a blessing that helps you to deal with a problem that follows you throughout your life. But because you miss the presence of Jesus Christ in that lesson, in that worship, you keep depriving yourself. I hope we learn from the passage of Matthew 18, 20, and 1 Corinthians, both. That is chapter 11, both verse 10 and verse 17. Angels and Jesus Christ are present at worship. When we come together in worship, we come together for our betterment.
That's right.
If you are here today, remember, you cannot truly worship Christ if you are not part of His saved family. That's a fact. You must first give yourself to God before you can give yours. That's the way it is. That's the way God operates. He wants you before He will take your worship. Come now and give your life to Him through what? Faith. That is, you must believe. Through repentance. You must turn from your ungodly ways. Through confessing Christ's name. And through getting baptized. As we stand.